Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We have come to declare your name and to proclaim that you alone are God. We thank you for the beauty of the morning that makes all things come to life and come to brisk activeness. We give you praise, Holy Spirit, for this moment of service. We believe that your presence is here with us and you are not leaving us the same. We call on you, Spirit of God, that this is your moment, this is your time, that you will speak your word unto us. We don't want to leave without a word. We don't want to leave not being blessed. Father, speak your word unto us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word come in power. Let your word come to saturate and change, transform our lives to the better. We pray, Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be ready to receive that which you have for us. Use my vocal cord, my intellect, Lord, and let me be able to articulate that which you have downloaded in my spirit. Spirit of God, be thou exalted and have your way in this first truth encounter service. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Jesus, we declare your lordship over this atmosphere. Yes, we change the wavelength from this moment. That let it be the move of God. Hallelujah. Let your word come in power. We give you glory. We give you glory. And let everybody who believes that God is about to move through his word say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. And please be seated in the presence of our Lord. Amen. Somebody smile to the word of God. Amen. Somebody is blessed in the house of the Lord, and I want to welcome all of you to our first truth encounter service this morning. Amen. We understand from the pages of the scriptures David's prayer, and we've said a lot about this particular prayer by David. And the first thing we understand is that David sought to be exceptional. He said, as for me, so it doesn't matter what the others may do. It doesn't matter what the others may be looking at or maybe doing. He wants to be different. He wants to be a person of a kind, not to follow the trend, but he dares to be different. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Today I want to concentrate on the last part of the scripture that says that when I awake with thy likeness. Now, does it mean that David, I don't know where, what has changed, what has turned, what has become of David, that this time around he wants to be awaked into the likeness of God? What was going on before and what has changed, and why is he praying such a prayer? And this particular phrase introduces us to what God wants us to know and share with us this morning. Hallelujah. He said that when I awake with thy likeness. So what has happened to David? Was he not into the likeness of God before? Was he not like God before? Now, why is he saying that now he wants to awake into the likeness of God? Now, there are certain times I just want to introduce to you this morning. And then based on that, we would have understanding of what we are going to know. Amen. The first time I want to introduce this morning is called illusion. Say illusion. Come on, say it louder. Illusion. No, that is weak. Say illusion. Now, what is illusion? It simply means false idea or false concepts or unreal or misleading appearance. Illusion. It is simply false idea. Not only idea, it can also mean a concept. It can also mean something unreal and misleading appearance. Most of the movies we watch, almost all movies, can be illusions. They try to create an impression of something real, but in actual fact, it's not real. Are you understanding me? If you were standing there whilst the movie was being done, and after they finished the movie and you are watching the movie, you realize that everything that they have created was fake, one way or the other, was not real. Amen. Is somebody understanding me? So illusion means something unreal, something false, false idea or false concept. Now, out of the word illusion, we also have the word illusionist. Illusionist. Illusionist simply means a person who operates by illusion. Is somebody following me? Somebody who creates deception and misleading appearances. Illusionist is someone who creates misleading appearances or creates deception. Deception. Tell somebody deception. And the third word I want to introduce to us this morning is hypnosis. Say hypnosis. H-Y-P-N-O-S-I-S. H-Y-P-N-O-S-I-S. Hypnosis. Hypnosis. Tell somebody hypnosis. So today we are having three basic words for understanding. The first one is illusion. Illusion. We have explained that, and out of that we have illusionist. The person who creates unreal or misleading appearances. And then the third word is hypnosis. Hypnosis. Can you pronounce it so that it becomes part of you? Say hypnosis. Now, hypnosis simply means a sleep-like condition which the subject responds to suggestions. It is a sleep-like condition which the subject responds to suggestions. I want to come again. Hypnosis means a sleep-like condition which the subject responds to suggestion. What it means is that when you are hypnotized, you come into a realm whereby you act like you are sleeping, but then whatever is told of you, you respond. You are able to respond to whatever is told you. Are you understanding me? Though it means you are not of yourself. You are acting like somebody sleeping, but yet if they ask you to do something, you are able to do it, which means that they have hypnotized you. Now let's combine these three basic words that I have outlined this morning. We have somebody called illusionist, the person who creates unreal appearance, and he operates by hypnotizing people in order to create illusion. Is somebody following me? We have somebody who we have described by the term illusionist. And this is how this illusionist operates. He operates by hypnotizing to create an unreal, false idea, deceptive environment. Is somebody here with me? Now go to Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9. Teaches us and tells us who exactly is our greatest illusionist. Our greatest illusionist. Now, the Bible says that, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Praise God. Now here, Satan or the devil is described as the one who deceived the whole world. That means Satan, from time in ages, has become the number one and the greatest illusionist. And his best way of operation is to hypnotize people, thereby suggesting things to them that they have to respond. He lives in deception. And the Bible says that he was cast down together with his angels. Is somebody following me? Now, we must see his first operation in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. The book of Genesis, chapter number 3, we saw the first operation of this great illusionist called Satan. And he began as he entered into the beautiful garden that God has made, went to Eve and began to speak to her and cause her to, number one, doubt the word of God. The first thing that he came to do is to create falsehood or to doubt that which God has said. Is somebody following me? Now, through his deception, he was able to hypnotize the entire human race. We know the story already. So after he has received the words, which I believe were spirit, it entered into her. And then when the husband also came, the same spirit was transferred. So both of them were hypnotized, or they came into a realm of illusion. Is somebody following me? And from that time, the whole human race have been in trance, and we have been in coma. All because the first Adam, or the first Eve, the first man, responded to the great deception of the devil. Is somebody here with me? Now, the idea of illusion is not really of a force, but it's a kind of subtle deception. It's a kind of lie that is introduced to human or to humankind, to the extent that it has become part of the Adamic nature in the mind. Now, when you look at the account in the book of Genesis chapter 3, everything that happened, if you really look at it very critically, was not something that has to do with the physical appearance. Satan, or at that time the serpent, didn't come physically to actually stand before Eve and start engaging. No. Everything that took place at that time was happening in the mind of the person. Is somebody here with me? So, one of the places, or one of the things the enemy is using in order to hypnotize or to bring us into the realm of illusion, is to engage our mind. Is to engage our mind. So it is not a kind of force, though it is a spirit, that when it enters into you, it creates certain form of a realm around you, and the enemy takes advantage and begins to work against you. Say a big amen on that. And this kind of nature, as I said, that can only exist in the realm of illusion, this is what it does. It accuses. It brings you into a realm of accusation where you are not able to appreciate who you are anymore, but everything that you see becomes condemnation. It brings slanders. It brings a form of rebel. You rebel It is something that caused you to rebel, because the illusionist, our greatest, illusionist, is a rebeller or somebody who has rebelled. It makes you feel guilty and it makes you feel ashamed. Is somebody here with me? Now, you realize that before all the conversation took place in the days of Eden, everything that God had made man was intact. The Bible makes it clear that they were naked and not ashamed. It means that nothing has gone wrong. Nothing was wrong. Nothing needed a change. But the moment they came into the place of illusion, they started seeing things differently. Today, I pray that your understanding will come to light and you will be able to know the deceptions and the things that the enemy is causing you to believe, which you are not. Your amen is weak for me. Is somebody here with me? Now, in this service, I will try as much as possible to share with you two major illusions that the enemy is forcing us or causing us to believe. I'm going to share with you in the second service. We are going to share two as well. And then we'll see how to be able to deal with it. Is somebody understanding with me? Now, the first illusion that I want to talk about of Satan is the illusion of the being human. It's the illusion of the being human, what we call human beings. To be called human beings is an illusion. And some of you, this teaching may sound a little bit weird, but you must come to understand that this is scripture and this is the will of God and this is what God intends for you and intends for all of us. Your amen is weak. Now you realize that after listening to the suggestion of the serpent, and come to think of it, whatever the serpent was speaking to the woman or to the man at this point in time was coming from a carnal mind. It was not spiritual. The environment God created in the Garden of Eden was a spiritual environment. It was a glorious environment. Now the enemy comes in to introduce from a carnal mind an illusion. And from that time, they perceived themselves to be naked. Initially, they were naked, but they were not ashamed. But from the day those words came to them, they started seeing themselves as naked. They were made to believe, number one, that they are lesser than God. The enemy came and said, that has God said, challenging the authority of God's word, that if you are to eat this fruit, you will become like God. So in other words, he first placed the impression that they were lesser than God. Meanwhile, we know from the scriptures that God created man in his own what? Image. In his likeness, he made us. So the first thing that the enemy made them to actually come into is an identity crisis. Now, man began to have an identity crisis. And it is really a hell. It is a problem and it is a serious thing not to know who you are and not to know where you come from. Is somebody here with me? So man began to contemplate, why? So I'm lesser than God. I can't be like God. Then I must find my way in order to make it in this life. So they began to struggle with themselves, who they really are. Meanwhile, God has made them to be like him. If you believe you are like God, shout a big amen. Now they came to begin to have vain imaginations about themselves. Now the name they had to take upon themselves is the word human. Now human means, according to the Latin, actually means ground or earth. Humus, earth. Now instead of God making you into his image and into his likeness, we have accepted the illusion of the devil, and now we believe that we are no more like God, but we are lesser of God, and therefore adopted the idea of being human. Humus. We are now crowned. We are the earth. No wonder when God was speaking to them after the fall, he said that you will return back to where? To the ground. And serpents will eat your body as meat. Why? Because that is where we relegated our life to. We subjected our life to become the earth. And the earth is the food for the serpent. Is somebody understanding me? So we must come to the place of understanding that one of the greatest deceptions that the devil has managed to implant in our spirit is for us to be called human beings. You are not grounded to the earth. You are not of the earth. But you are created in the image of God. Oh, that's weak for somebody here. I don't think you want me to shout on this, but you must not have an identity crisis. Many of us are seated here as people of God, but we don't know our roots. And once you are confused with your roots, then you know that you have a problem in this life. Is somebody here with me? We are like God. Now David says, I will awake into thy likeness. It means that I'm going to defy the illusions of the devil of who I am. I will come into the place where I take on the resemblance of God. I came to tell you something, that you are more like God. That is weak for somebody here. I said you are more like God. Created in the likeness and in the image of God. You are not lesser than God. Tell somebody you are not lesser than God. We understand that seeds bring forth its kind. And God is the seed that was planted in man. Seeds bring forth its kind. And God is the seed that was planted in man. So eventually, mankind is the manifestation of God. Is somebody here with me? Mankind, in other words, is the manifestation of God in the flesh. According to 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, he says that great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. That God was what? He said that, and then God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believe in the word, and receive our word in glory. May that be your portion today. So who are you? Who exactly are you? You are the visible expression of an invisible God. That is weak for somebody. You are the visible expression of an invisible God. Say, I am the visible expression. Come on, somebody's not speaking back to me. Say, I am the visible expression of an invisible God. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, stop trying to be something else. Stop trying to be what God has already made you. You are not human. Say, I'm not human. Now, John chapter 10, verse number 34. Let's backtrack so much. John chapter 10, verse 34. The same can be found in Psalm number 82, verse number 6. Psalm number 82, verse number. Jesus answered them, is it not written? That which we are reading was written before in Psalm number 82, verse number 6. He said that, I have said that ye are gods. And all of you, no one is left out. Come on. Everybody seated here, by redemption, the Bible says that all of you are children of the Most High. In case you have accepted the illusion of the devil, thinking that you are something different, stop trying to be anything different. You are like God. Many of us have come into the place where we've been hypnotized to believe that we can never make it to the standards of God. We can never reach the heights of God. We can never make it like God. But I came to tell you that that is an illusion. Is somebody here with me? Yes, I am like God. Is somebody here with me? So he said that all of you are the children of the Most High. How many of you believe you are the children of the Most High this morning? Oh, come on, can I see by hand and give the Lord a mighty shout over that? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, we understand here from the writings of Peter and his teachings, we understand that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious word. Is somebody following me? Then continue. That ye might be what? Ye might be what? Of what? What divine nature is he talking about? The nature of God. So we have been called to become partakers. Not just to tap into, not just to kind of, draw or go once in a while and then we feel okay. No, but to be partakers, always in touch, always drawing from him. David said, as for me, I will behold him in righteousness. Constant viewing, watching him all the time makes you to become a partaker of divine nature. I came to break that illusion in your mind from today. Come on. I said I came to break that illusion from your mind today. If you are like God, then you must understand that you can do everything that God has done. He said that greater things can we also do. Is somebody here? If God, who is your Father, is a creator, then you can also be a creator. Is somebody here with me? You are not different from your father. Say, I'm not different from my father. The second illusion I want you to is the illusion of sin. The illusion of sin. And this is very deep, and I want you to understand from the biblical perspective. Illusion of sin. The illusion of sin. This is not to condemn that. This is not to say that there is no sin or sin doesn't exist, but the enemy has managed to some extent cause us to be hypnotized based on our weaknesses and based on our sins and the things that we have done. But if Jesus came to die, then that spell is broken. Is somebody here with me? We must understand that after the man and the woman has accepted the fruit of the serpent, their view of themselves changed. And this is very crucial and this is very important. After they had received the fruit, nothing changed except they themselves. They changed. And they changed based on how they saw themselves. Now they saw that they were naked. And indeed, naked. Is somebody understanding me? Instead of them seeing the beauty and the glory which existed or which God had created before, the environment in which God has placed them in, from the time they received or they accepted the fruit, they started seeing themselves changed. And now the beauty has turned into ugly. The glory has now become shame because they were naked before, but the Bible says that they were not ashamed. Now, because they have changed by accepting the fruit, now their perspective has changed. Now, instead of them seeing glory,
they are now seeing what? Shame. The glory of the Lord covered them before. So even though they were naked, they could not see any shame. Is somebody here with me? Now, because of this, instead of them seeing the light, catch me. Instead of them seeing light, they started seeing darkness. Everything has now turned around them. And this is a kind of illusion that many believers are still walking in. They still think that we are sinners. We can't be perfect. We can't walk in righteousness. We can't be holy. All because of what we are seeing. Now, they began to see God, who loved them by creating them as in his own image and in his likeness, and has made a very beautiful environment and has placed them in. Now they started seeing this God as an angry God. But the question I want to ask you is that, had God changed? Has his plans for man changed? No. But then now they see God as somebody angry with man, sitting somewhere that wants to destroy them. And many of you, the devil has caused us to believe that God is always angry with you. God wants to kill you. God thinks that you are not right. God thinks that you are not perfect. God thinks that, oh, because of your weakness and because of that, oh, he's after your life and he's going to kill you one day, or some evil is going to happen to you because maybe you are not right. That is an illusion. I came to tell you that it was the people that changed based on their perception concerning everything around them. The garden had not changed. The glory of God had not actually changed. God has not changed in his perception, in his plans concerning them. And that is very important. That is key as children of God for us to understand that the devil is a liar. I only had only few people. I said the devil is a liar. Now man has become an enemy and has been alienated from God in the mind. They think that God is a wicked God. Everybody's sinning and everybody is running away from God. You make a mistake and you think that you have blown it up. There is nothing you can do. God is after you. But that is an illusion. Tell somebody that is an illusion. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Hallelujah. They imagine God to be different from what he used to be. They thought that God has changed because of what I've done. You know, many a times when you are home with your father and you think you have done something wrong, probably your father has not done anything, but the mind. So it start to withdraw. Instead of you going to your father, you think that, Kai, if he sees me, something is going to happen. So you rather draw away. That was exactly what the devil placed man in. He placed man in a level of illusion, or where he's able to deny us access to God. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here with me? But thanks be to God. Tell somebody, thanks be to God. In John chapter 1, verse number 29, the Bible makes it clear. John lifted up his eyes one day and saw Jesus going. And he said that, behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Jesus came to break the spell of the illusion of sin. He came to destroy the idea that the devil has placed in us, that we cannot make it back to God. We cannot, because of what we have done. And I came to tell you that if you are a child of God, that illusion of sin is broken over your life. Is somebody here with me? Now you have come to the place where you choose to see sin, or you can choose to behold him. There are two different things. There are many believers. This is where, I mean, this is the defining moment, and I want you to catch it. You have been delivered by redemption. Jesus has broken the spell of the illusion of sin over your life. But you can choose to focus or look at sin and become it. But or you can choose to behold the Lamb of God, like John said, behold the Lamb of God. He said, look at the Lamb of God, watch him. And as you watch him, you become him. So David said that as for me, I will behold him in what? In righteousness. In that as I behold him, I don't come into the illusion of sin, but I come into the illusion of his image, of his likeness. I awake from that kind of hypnotizing. If there's a word like that, I awake from that kind of sleeping into the likeness and into the image of sin. Therefore, I don't see sin and become it, but I rather look at Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And as I look at him, if you are here and all your attempt is to try and be holy, stop trying. You are already holy. Oh, come on, look at you. I said, all that you do is to try every day, trying to become like something else. I came to tell you that you are already holy. You are already righteous. Now, what you need to do is to behold him every day. And as you behold him, you allow the Holy Spirit to bring the change that you need. You don't need to try to become something else. You are already made holy. Say, I am the righteousness of God. The devil is trying to make you think that you are not holy. You are a child of God seated here, washed by the blood, tongue talking, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the devil is telling you that, that is an illusion. Tell somebody that is an illusion. Is somebody here with me? I'm coming out of that illusion right now. In the name of Jesus, I will not try to become something else. I am already made. Oh, your amen is weak for me. I said, I am already made. And all that I do is to behold him in righteousness. And as you behold him, the Holy Spirit will bring the change that you need. Is somebody here with me? I don't want to force myself to become anything. That becomes religion. Religion is what? Doing something to please God. So everything you are doing is to meet the standard of God. But nothing that you do can measure up with the greatest standard or the righteousness of God. All that you do is to behold the Lamb. John said, brother, behold the Lamb of God. Everybody look at him. He pointed his fingers to all the people that have surrounded him, including the disciples, and said, have you seen that Lamb going? Behold the Lamb of God. Watch him, watch him, watch him, watch him. And as you watch him, you become like him. Is somebody here with me? Is somebody here with me? In Titus chapter number 1, verse number 15. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 15. This is very important. And look at it. Read with me after you have written. Can you help me with the sound? I don't like the echo. Now he says, listen, everybody look at me. Read with me. Good. He said that unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled. Think of it. If you come to me, I'm dangerous about people who always pinpoint sin and trying to make you feel bad. I find that those people very dangerous. I mean, all that they see is what you are doing wrong. All that they see is that which is not right. All that they see is where you failed, your shortcomings, and all that. Hallelujah. Look at them. For them, the Bible said that they see those things because they are impure. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because to the pure, all things... I wish I have the right people here. Is somebody here with me? So don't come into the devil has managed to bring us into the illusion of thinking that we are not pure. So all that we see is imperfection. It's imperfection. The trouble. We see chaos. confusion. We see that we are not right. And that is where he has managed to please all of us. But this morning, by reason of this knowledge that you are receiving today, we break that illusion of sin over our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we refuse to come into the place of thinking that we are not. Tell somebody, I am. Oh my God, let me feel somebody. Say another person, I am. Hallelujah. So to the holy, all things are holy. Huh? But if you're unholy, everything you see is what? Unholy. David said, I will behold him in righteousness. Somebody is blessed. Now, how do I live the awakened life? I want to be very brief here. How do I live the awakened life? This is the awakened life, part 3A. Is somebody here? Very good. How do I live the awakened life? Romans chapter 8, verse number 4 to 10. I want to be fast here because of time. Romans chapter 8, verse number 4 to 5. Please, he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now hold it. There is the righteousness of the law that must be fulfilled. Now, the law was the standard of God. Many of you think that the law was bad. No. The law, as was given by God, was the measure up of who God is. The law in itself is not bad. Is somebody here with me? But how to meet up the standard or the law was the problem. Is somebody here with me? No matter how they tried, they couldn't meet the standard, which is the righteousness of the law. Is somebody here with me? Now, Paul is causing us to understand that once we come into Christ, there is the need for us to fulfill the righteousness of the law. How? Not to walk in the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. Now, so the first thing that you and I must understand, probably I've talked about it before, is to set your mind on what? Is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. How do you live the awakened life? Is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, verse number five says that for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the things of the Spirit do what? Mind the things of the Spirit. Go to six. Now listen, he said that for to be carnally minded is what? That is death, to be asleep. So if anybody wants to be in hypnotized, you want to be in illusion, then you need to be carnally minded. Because from the beginning, the greatest illusionist came with carnal thoughts, started turning the already made thoughts that God has placed in us. So if any child of God wants to also live the awakened life like David prayed, then he must begin to come into the spiritually mindedness. And that, he says, gives life and what? Peace. Is somebody here with me? Do you want life and peace in your life? Then you don't need to live carnally. What do I mean by that? You don't need to live focusing on sin or allow evil thoughts, carnal thoughts, to fill your mind. It makes you die. It makes you die. It makes you hypnotized. Then the devil takes advantage and begins to destroy you. But this morning, I dare you to be different. You must be spiritually minded. And the Bible says that it gives what? Life and peace. I release life and peace unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says that, go to verse 7, please. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. What is the law of God? The law of righteousness. Neither indeed can be. There is a conflict. Once you become a born again, you come into your new nature. You come into your new nature. Now this nature begins to fight with the flesh, the old nature. Are you understanding me? And it becomes like a tug of war. One is pulling the other. One is trying to have dominance, the spirit and the flesh. Now that was so clear in Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians as I conclude. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 to 18. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 to 18. Galatians 5 verse 16 to 18. Now he said that, this I say then, that we should what? Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is somebody here with me? Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are what? That is weak. And these are what? To one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye will. There is a strong conflict between the flesh and the spirit. The reason why the enemy has had many advantage over you, trying to make you feel like you are something which you are not, is to come into the conflict where he has allowed, you have been able to allow your flesh to dominate your spirit. But this morning, we come into the place of knowledge. We come into the place of our full consciousness of who we are in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So you realize that everything has to do with the mind. 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 We saw how the consequences of these things, that when we live in the flesh, the Bible says we shall die. But when we live in the spirit, we shall have life and peace. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5 to 11, Philippians chapter number 2, the consequences of these two ways, the mindset on the flesh leads to death, but the mindset of the spirit leads to life. In Philippians 2, 5, they say that, let this mind, let what? Tell somebody, let this mind. Tap another person and say, let this mind. I wish you can look into their eyes and say, let this mind. You are not speaking well. Say, let this mind. There is a way of thinking that you must carry. There is a mindset that you must have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Continue for me. Now, he says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. But what again? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what? Servant. And was made in. Wow. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Then verse number 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. 10. That at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth and of things under the earth. Shout a big amen on that. Amen. So Paul, in advising us, is telling us that you cannot live the awakened life unless or until you have a particular mindset. And that mindset is the mind of Christ. So how then do you live that particular life? Living the life of the spirit is to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the mindset of Jesus Christ? Well, let me share the two here and then come into conclusion. Number one, it talked about humility. Humility. He said he being in a form of God didn't take it lightly. Go back to that verse number, that verse number 7. Go to 7. Yes, okay, 8 is okay. Being found in a fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. So the first way to walk in the spirit with the mindset of Christ is a walk of humility. It's a key. If you want to live the awakened life, learn to humble yourself. Many of us are too big in ourselves. That's why we fall so easily. We think we know so much. We don't want correction. We think that as for us, nobody talks about us. Nobody corrects us. Nobody speaks against us. Nobody say anything bad to me. Calm down and humble yourself. Jesus was God, but he subjected himself. He humbled himself. Look at how they framed that scripture. He said that, go to 7, and let me start from there. You'll understand what we are talking about. Go to 7. He said that, but made himself. Go to 6. I mean, it's a prologue. Who being in the form of God. Jesus. Oh, this is Jesus. Tell somebody this is Jesus. Hey. Who we know is God. But yet, the Bible says so what is the mindset of Christ that Paul is telling us? Is to have humility. Is to humble yourself. No matter who you are, no matter what you have, if you want to live the awakened life, humble yourself. Touch somebody, say, I'm talking to you. He couldn't boast of the fact that he's God. He couldn't just come and lord over us, walk over us, and think that, hey, don't you know I'm God? And indeed he was. He could have done anything. At one point in time, they wanted to arrest him. They were pushing him to the place, and all of a sudden he turned, and all of them, he didn't touch anybody. Everybody fell. At least he could have commanded angels to his rescue. But look at the things they did. They spit on him. They did everything to him, but yet, sometimes, a little stepping of toe, when somebody step on your toe, because of the illusion you carry in your spirit, thinking that if you are not able to defend yourself and speak back, you are not able to do something, hey, humble yourself. Stop living an illusion. You are too humble to do what you're doing. Is somebody here with me? God! The Bible said that he came down. He humbled himself. Now go to James chapter 4, verse number 6 and 10. Just James chapter 4, verse 6 and 10. Verse 6 and 10. He said that, but he giveth more grace. Tell somebody more grace. How many of you need grace? To be awakened means to come into the place of grace. Oh, say more grace. I wish I have the right people here. Come on, shout more grace. Who giveth more grace? No, who giveth more grace? Oh, receive it right now. Is somebody here? Wherefore, he said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I don't know what you need. It takes grace to make your going great. But you cannot be engaged if you are proud. In fact, God himself will be the one that will what? Resist you. Some of you are facing resistances in your life. Nothing works for you. All your prayers are like hitting the roof and coming back to you. Because you are too big in yourself. Tell somebody it's time to go down and humble yourself. Is somebody here with me? For the benefit of those who missed the second service, let me push the one. What is the mindset of Christ? The next one he talked about is obedience. 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 The Bible says that he was obedient. He was obedient, even to the cross. It was not easy to go to the cross. Nobody would want to suffer. Nobody would want to go through problems. Nobody would want to. But for the sake of you and I, he obeyed the call to at least suffer. Is somebody here with me? To offer himself as a sacrifice. Obedience. 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 Let's just, for the sake of time, Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19 to 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19 to 20. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19 to 20. The Bible says that if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Is somebody here with me? So your struggles come to an end when you obey. Obey what? The word of God. Instructions. Godly instructions. Many of us want the prize, but we don't want to go through the pain. Jesus couldn't be given a name that is above every name if he was disobedient. If everything that the Father told him, he rejected it. In a father, while the messenger is, how can I go and lie on the cross for them to put a nail in my hands? No. He never considered the pain. He never considered the trouble. But the Bible said he was what? Obedience. I don't know what is challenging your life to the extent that you can't obey simple instructions from God. You can't take a simple step. What God is telling you, it's like, God, I have not heard it. Just a little thing that God expects you to do, as simple things like obeying, coming to the place, coming to the church, almost every time, doing something for God, simple instructions. We don't do it. Just a simple instruction. And let me tell you, every word of God that comes from the altar, every word, not the words I'm preaching us from the scriptures, but every instructions from announcement, right from the opening prayer to the end, every instruction can lead you to your glorious life. It can bring a change in your life. Some of you think that when we say lift up your hands, then you do this. You are disobeying. How can you lift up your hands and do this? Let's all stand. You think that you have a waist problem. It's an illusion. We'll talk about it at the second service. You think that is your mindset. You have a waist problem, so you don't want to even wake. Get up when you are supposed. All of us, by instructions from the leader, God says that we should get on our feet. Lift up your hands. Now, some of you. Oh, let's shout! As if you have not heard that we are saying, let's what? Disobedience. I pray that may the Lord break us free from any form of illusion. Somebody is blessed this morning. Have you learned something this morning? Come on, get up your feet and let's give glory and a shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody is blessed. Just raise your hands to the Father and thank him for his word.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.